Ready for a deep dive? We're going back to 1960s Northern Ireland, the Terence O'Neill era as Prime Minister. More specifically, 1963 to 67. It's amazing these documents you've brought in really paint a picture of the era. You know, economic change, political maneuvering, even a bit of mystery.
Oh, it's a fascinating period. You really see the complexities of Northern Ireland, the desire for progress, but those deep sectarian divisions and those growing frustrations. Well, they eventually boil over into major unrest.
Let's start with O'Neill himself, taking office in 63. He wasn't your typical unionist leader, was he?
Not at all. See, O'Neill's background made him different. Educated in England, wealthy landowning family. This put him as more progressive, open to change, more so than many in the Unionist Party. And you gotta remember, they held a grip on power back then. Relations between Protestants and Catholics. Incredibly strained, to put it mildly.
Sounds like he wanted a more modern Northern Ireland. More inclusive, too. We're talking about a time when he's visiting Catholic schools, hospitals, meeting clergy. Even ordered flags at half-mast when the Pope died. Pretty bold for the time, no?
Absolutely. Those gestures were huge, especially with the ecumenical movement growing, that push for understanding between Christian denominations. But here's the catch. These were often symbolic. Systemic discrimination against Catholics, largely unaddressed.
So, olive branch, but not getting at the roots. And on top of this, Northern Ireland's economy in the 60s was struggling, right? High unemployment, industries declining, recipe for trouble.
Exactly. The 1965 Wilson Report laid it bare how bad it was. A real wake-up call. Attract investment, develop infrastructure, invest in housing, and crucially, a more skilled workforce. Which leads us to a pivotal moment for O'Neill and our DEPDAG today. The decision to create a second university in Northern Ireland.
And that decision had some major consequences. It's strange how something like education becomes so political, huh?
It shows how intertwined everything is. Social, economic, political. Especially in a place as divided as Northern Ireland was.
So, a university is needed, but the question is, where? And from what I've seen, Derry was a strong contender.
And for good reason. Second largest city, already home to McGee College. Desperate for investment, significant Catholic population. If O'Neill wanted to show he meant it, about reconciliation and progress, Derry was the spot to make a statement.
Sounds like a win-win. Boost the economy, improve relations, invest in a community that had been, well, left behind. But something tells me it's not that simple.
You'd be right to be skeptical. The decision of where to put that university ignited a firestorm, showed just how deep the sectarian divide really ran. Could O'Neill actually bridge it, or would he have to choose a side?
This is where it gets interesting, and honestly, a little heartbreaking too.
Talk about a decision becoming a lightning rod. 1965, the Lockwood Report comes out. They were supposed to figure out, you know, do we need this second university?
Well, we're just saying Derry seemed like the obvious choice.
Yeah.
So many reasons it made sense. What happened?
Well, they said, yeah, you do need a university, but they recommended Coleraine as the place to put it. Instead of Derry.
Coleraine, that's right. Way smaller. And mostly Protestant, if I'm remembering right.
Exactly. Huge controversy right away. The report, it gave reasons. Coleraine's tranquility, the land available, existing accommodation. Practical stuff on the surface.
Yeah, I can see how those sound. Reasonable. But I bet there's more to this story.
Oh, absolutely. Those reasons played right into the anxieties people already had. Think about it, Derry. History of tension, right? It was seen as too volatile. Too risky.
So, by choosing Coleraine, it sent a message, even if they didn't intend to.
Exactly. It reinforced this whole idea that the government favors Protestant areas when it comes to development. That feeling of being left out. The Catholic community felt it even more strongly. O'Neill's trying to bridge this gap, but it felt like a step backwards.
And then, to make things worse, you've got the mystery of the faceless men, right?
Oh, yeah. The faceless men. Rumors start going around. O'Neill met with these, like, unidentified, high-ranking unionists, and they were dead set against putting the university in Derry.
Secret meeting, potentially swaying a huge decision. It sounds like a spy thriller.
Oh, yeah.
What were they so afraid of?
The rumors. They said this group, they were scared of empowering Catholics, thought it undermined Protestant control in Northern Ireland. For years, it was just talk, speculation. But get this, later on, government records confirm those meetings happened.
Wow. Wow. Talk about pouring gasoline on a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got protests, petitions. There was even that huge motorcade from Derry to Stormont, right? But O'Neill goes ahead with Coleraine.
Mm-hmm.
What was the lasting effect of all this? How did it change Northern Ireland?
The impact was huge. You see the stark difference emerge. Coleraine, it blossomed. University became a center, you know, growth, development. But McGee College, in Derry. It was supposed to be part of this new university, but it just stagnated, never got the investment it was promised.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
A missed opportunity, not just for Derry, but for a more unified Northern Ireland. It's like, no matter what he wanted, O'Neill was walking a tightrope, and this decision ripped the divide even wider.
And not just a physical divide either. Coleraine became the symbol. Broken promises, systemic bias. Catholic community saw it as a betrayal, pushed them even further away.
It's amazing, you know? What seems like a simple thing, where to build a university, it blew up into all this. Did anyone at the time, did they see this coming, the impact it would have? It's wild, isn't it, that a university could cause such a chain reaction?
Historians still debate this, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. On the one hand, you've got O'Neill, right? Trying to change things for Northern Ireland. I mean, he really was, even if it sometimes felt more like gestures than real change, you know? But he's part of this system that does not want to budge, answerable to a party. Well, let's just say they liked things how they were.
It's like between a rock and a hard place then.
Exactly. Trying to modernize, trying to keep people happy, and to think it all started with trying to boost the economy.
It really shows you, though, how everything's connected, the social stuff, the politics, the economics.
Couldn't agree more. Coleraine wasn't just about education anymore. It was a test of O'Neill, of the government. Could they be fair? Could Northern Ireland have a different future?
And we know how that turned out. The Troubles. I mean, it's impossible to say if Derry would have stopped that.
One of those what-if moments in history.
Totally. But we can say Coleraine mattered.
Yeah.
It showed just how tense things were, how deep those divisions ran.
And here's what gets me, even these decisions, like technical ones, where you build something, practical stuff. It has these ripple effects, social, political, especially when there's already so much baggage, you know?
It reminds you. Progress isn't a straight line. Good intentions.
Yeah.
Well, look what happened. This deep dive's been amazing, honestly. A peek into this crucial moment and how hard it is to make real change.
It makes you think, how do even little decisions echo through time? And they shape everything, whole communities, even countries.
Makes you wonder, what could have been right if things went differently? No easy answers, but it's something to think about. How do we learn from this? How do we build a better future?
That's the question, isn't it?
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. It's been fascinating and a little sobering, to say the least. We'll be back next time with more stories from the archives, digging into the past to understand the present. See you then.